Revelation 1. I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, "Write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamon, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea." I turned round to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned round, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe, reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash round his chest. The hair on his head was white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and coming out of his mouth was a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. Write, therefore, what you have seen, what is now and what will take place later, the mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and of the seven golden lampstands is this. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches."
Thank you, Jackie. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we have your word in our hands. Please take our lives into your hands and speak into them. And we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. This has been a great day for me. I just find it so stimulating to be with brothers and sisters who are excited about sharing the good news of Jesus with children and young people. You are infectious. And I'm just thinking of the hundreds of children and young people who are in the groups that you guys pray for and love and teach. And that's just incredibly exciting. This last session is called Jesus, the Lord of Youth Work. That doesn't mean the Lord of Youth Work as opposed to the Lord of Children's Work. It's just a kind of all-purpose title. We needed a title for the last session, so it's called Jesus, the Lord of Youth Work. So we're going to look very briefly at Revelation chapter 1, but it's going to be incredibly brief. So let's be doing two things at once. Can we do this, even though we're tired? Yes, Uncle Andrew, is what I expected, but I didn't get it. But I won't try asking the question again, but let's try and do two things at once. Firstly, look at verses 12 to 16. Here is revelation. A revelation of Jesus to John. And we haven't got time to look at all the details. If you just glance over that paragraph, verses 12 to 16, you'll see that Jesus is revealing his holiness and his power to John. And there's a detail in the middle of verse 16 which is, I think, particularly important for us. Coming out of his mouth was a sharp double-edged sword, the power of the word of Jesus. What changes the lives of people, what changes the lives of the young people and the children in our groups is not us, it's the word of God. The Spirit takes the word and changes them. Hallelujah. Revelation. And you have experienced a revelation of God. We've experienced a revelation of God through Philippians 2 today, but you've experienced a revelation of Jesus because you've come to know Jesus, you've come to trust Jesus, you've come to follow Jesus and serve Jesus. Revelation. Then secondly, in verses 17 and 18, encouragement. Verse 17, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. I don't know how you feel at the end of this day. You probably don't feel that you're dead, but you may be feeling fairly tired. John is feeling pretty wiped out because he's been in Patmos, on the island of Patmos, probably as an exile because of his loyalty to Jesus. And he's fallen at the feet of Jesus because this revelation is just so overwhelming. But how do you feel at the end of today? Now, you may feel tired. I think some of us probably feel at the end of a day like today, oh, wow, I am not really the right person to be doing children's work or youth work. I hear the murmur there. And that's partly because you meet other people, and they, have you noticed, other people look incredibly gifted and together and sorted, and you think you're the only one who's really a bit of a mess. Well, let me just tell you something. You know anyway, but it's good to hear it. We're all a bit of a mess. Jesus specializes in using people who are a bit of a mess. And he's called you to faith in Jesus, and now he's called you to do children's work or youth work, and he wants to use you. He is not calling you to be somebody else. He's calling you to be you. And he wants you to be you. But you trusting Jesus and you following Jesus. Look at the encouragement here in verse 17. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead and now look, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades." The encouragement for John is Jesus is the risen one. And Jesus wants to encourage us. Jesus wants to encourage you. And he wants to say, "I've called you, I know you, I love you, and I want to keep using you. Trust me." He's the risen one. All the authority and power has been given to him. He has all the resources that you need, if you will but trust him. Leave a finger in Revelation and just turn back, please, to Philippians 2. Don't worry, I'm not going to preach the whole of Philippians 2, 5 to 11 again. But there is one thing I want to just point out to us. If you look at Philippians 2, it's on page 1179 in the Church Bibles. I think maybe the most important word in the whole passage that we looked at this morning is the first word of verse 9. Therefore. What is the reason that God exalted his son Jesus? What is the reason that God blessed Jesus like this? Well, the reason is that Jesus took the four steps down. The four steps down are there in verses 6, 7, and 8. And then Paul says, therefore God exalted him. Now, these verses are not just about Jesus, because look at verse 5. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. What Paul is saying to us and what the Holy Spirit is saying to us through Paul is that we should have the same kind of mindset as Jesus has. We should be willing to go steps down. We should be willing to give up our rights. We should be willing to be servant-hearted. And the first word of verse 9 says, if we will live like that, if we will live as servants in our youth group, in our children's group, then God will bless us. So you may not think you're the most gifted person in the church. I have news for you. You are almost certainly not. Be servant-hearted. Serve in your children's group, in your youth group. And God will bless you. That's what this passage means. And your children and the young people in your group, they will see that. They will see the power of your example. I wasn't brought up in a Christian family. And when I was 9, I started going to a group called Crusaders, which is now called Urban Saints. And it was a boys-only, at those days where I was, a boys-only Bible class, 100 of us. every Sunday afternoon from 3 o'clock to 4 o'clock. And the Bible teaching was really interesting, and I enjoyed the whole thing, apart from the games. Well, I'm too boring to enjoy games. But I remember the example of the leaders. And there was one leader called Fred who we laughed at. And one reason we laughed at Fred is that he sang incredibly loudly. And he was always, you know, the 100 of us singing, and Fred would be louder than the rest of us. And we used to giggle there, me and my friends, we used to giggle at Fred singing so loudly. And there was one song that he sang more loudly than any other song. And in this one song, there was one line in this song which he sang more loudly than all the other lines in this one song. And we used to find this quite funny. We used to giggle. And this was the song. Wonderful, wonderful Jesus, who can compare with thee? Wonderful, wonderful Jesus, fairer than all art thou to me. Wonderful, wonderful Jesus. Oh, how my soul loves thee. Fairer than all the fairest, Jesus art thou. And we laughed because of the way Fred sang that song. And especially we laughed when he sang, Oh, how my soul loves thee. But I remember whenever I laughed at Fred singing, Oh, how my soul loves thee so loudly, I remember that I always thought, but it's true. He really does love Jesus. And I remember, even as a 10-year-old, I wasn't a Christian yet, I found that very attractive. And it actually made me want to love Jesus too. The power of example. And I hope that is an encouragement for you. However you're feeling about the work that you're called to, the work that you're involved in with children or with young people, I hope that you'll remember the power of example. If you will be servant-hearted, if you will love Jesus, the example will bear fruit. And it will make the children and young people that you pray for and that you love more receptive to what you are teaching them from God's word. So be encouraged. Jesus is delighted with your commitment to teach young people and children the truth about him. He is delighted. Encouragement. I'm back in Revelation 1, just for the close. Revelation 1, verses 19 and 20 is commissioning. Commissioning. I'll only read verse 19. This is what Jesus says to John, write therefore what you have seen, what is now, and what will take place later. And he gives him the job of writing the book of Revelation. A commissioning. And Jesus is commissioning us to go back into our churches and teach God's word, teach the truth about him to children and young people. He's not calling you to be someone else. He's calling you to be you. You trusting him. You asking him to help you to do what he's commissioned you to do. So whatever else we take away from today, the ideas we've had, the thoughts, the new approaches to different ways of communicating the truth of God's word, let's remember that we go home with Jesus. That Jesus has called us. That Jesus is encouraging us. That Jesus is commissioning us again to serve him, because he is more committed to his story being taught and proclaimed than we could ever imagine. And the extraordinary thing is, he has called you to be involved in that. God bless you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your encouragement. Thank you that you are the risen Lord and the exalted King in the highest place with the greatest name. And thank you that you are our Jesus. And we thank you for your encouragement that if we will be servant-hearted, you will bless us. And we thank you for the power of example. Thank you for the lives of Christians you've used in our lives. As we've seen the reality of them following you, it's made us want to do that too. And we bring ourselves to you now, and we pray that you would take us and use us. Use our example. Help us to be servant-hearted. Help us to love you more. And then help us to teach your word. And we pray that you'd send your Spirit so that miracles will happen in the lives of the young people and children we pray for and teach. So we thank you. Thank you that you are sending us back into this work, and that you are committed to blessing us and making us a blessing. And we praise you together in your great and strong name, Lord Jesus. Amen.